This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're with me, Melissa Idris, also Ibrahim Sani and Sharad Kutan on The Morning Run. 7:47 right now, coming up on The Breakfast Grill at 8:05 is Hans Asadi, the Managing Director of Heineken Malaysia. Now, they were previously known as Guinness Anchor Berhad, so they had recently gotten their name change approved by shareholders at an EGM last week. And I will be speaking to him about mainly three areas of focus. The excise duty change in structure, prices that Heineken says they're going to increase, and contraband products.
Now, we covered the story of CPI, Consumer Price Index, last week, and the products within the sin business, including not just alcohol, but also tobacco and gambling, actually risen up about 25% as compared to other goods and services. Other goods and services rose only 3 to 4%. So as you can see, this may drive up inflation. And I think this is the second company that we have on Syntex. Mm-hmm. The first was the Japan Tobacco International.
And lots of similarities between the challenges that they're facing. I mean, Heineken, they said that they're planning to increase prices after June. They just did it last month. So what gives? And if you look, it seems that the Anti-Profiteering Act expires in July. So that's probably one of the catalysts for raising prices. I'll be speaking to Hans Asadi about all this and more on The Breakfast Grill. But first, let's get back to business news of the day. And The Edge has flagged that today is an important day for 1MDB. In fact, today marks the end of a five working days grace period to pay the $50 million in interest for the $3.5 billion bond that 1MDB issued back in 2012.
Now, if 1MDB does not pay, they would be in default. It is important to note that they have not defaulted yet, but today could be the day that we all wonder when.
Yeah, so this, if they don't also make that payment, they would then also trigger a cross default of two other tranches of bonds. According to The Edge, this cross default could be for the $5 billion Islamic Sukuk on the 5 billion ringgit Islamic Sukuk, also the 800 million ringgit of the SOXO loans that are both guaranteed by the government.
In a recent interview that Arukandra gave on this particular debacle, he said that 1MDB has more than enough money to cover this particular payment.
11 times, in fact.
So then the question is, what would stop them from doing that to prevent what would be kind of a domino effect?
So he's saying that contracts must be honoured. And the contract that he was referring to is the contract that 1MDB has with IPIC. In 2012, IPIC co-guaranteed two tranches of a 10-year, $1.75 billion denominated bond or suku. In June last year, IPIC and 1MDB has entered into a debt settlement agreement where IPIC will assume obligation to pay the interest of the $50 million interest payment of the bond. This is exactly what we're talking about this morning. But on top of this, ABAR, which is the parent of IPIC, will grant a $1 billion suku or loan upfront to 1MDB. This is where the problem lies. 1MDB says that they have transferred the necessary cash to IPIC. IPIC says, I got no money. So that's the core reason why they're not paying the $50 million.
Okay, but that's the dispute.
Yeah,
that's
a dispute, and it has to do with the fact that 1MDB believes that individuals involved in ABRA actually signed off on it, right,
yeah,
on that transfer.
That's right. So while the dispute is still ongoing between IPIC, ABAR BVI, which is a subsidiary of theirs, and our very good 1MDB, the problem is now on the event of default. These cross bonds may have to be triggered. The cross bonds right now that we have, you rightly pointed out, Melissa, the 5 billion ringgit suku as well as the 800 million loan have not defaulted, but the bondholders could exercise a trigger called the EOD or event of default if that 1 million US dollar is not paid today.
Okay.
Now, it's not difficult, it's not hard to get it done, but you still need 75% of the vote to be required by all the bondholders to trigger the EOD. The bondholders have not waived their right to actually exercise their call for the EOD. That means 1MDB is still at risk of a default.
So that's why, according to the Edge Financial Daily, 1MDB has been going around across town meeting all these bondholders, asking them to waive the right to call for an event of default, an EOD.
Now, if I owe you money, Melissa, you really have to give me a good reason why I'm not supposed to pay up.
And yeah, la.
I need to even give a better reason why I'm not paying you back. That's the basic common of borrowing.
Well, you know, this theme runs through all kinds of things that are happening in Malaysia today. Even with the Ryanair story, you know, you have the the chief executive officer saying to his staff who haven't been paid for months, he says, they're following their emotions like children. I'm going to throw them all. I'm going to throw all away, away all these people. He's going to throw all of them away. And it's extraordinary because he owes them money. And he, you know, he's saying they're being emotional. Of course they're being emotional. They're not getting their wages.
I said this before. I have a personal friend who left Firefly, a good paying job at Firefly, because he was a first officer there. And he was offered captainship at Ryanair. But he has not been paid for 4 months. And he is one of those guys that is picketing against the boss of Ryanair.
Wow.
But pulling back to the story of 1MDB, the whole notion that the bondholders now are very antagonized, considering that they might exercise that event of default program, it means that the government of Malaysia is no longer seen as a worthy guarantor. Now, what does that tell you if our own government is not seen as a good guarantor in terms of 1MDB? It may also mean that the government is not seen as a good guarantor for other bonds as well.
So what you're saying is that it all kind of hinges on whether or not 1MDB will make that interest payment today. And if they do not, then it boils down to whether bondholders will waive the EOD.
That's okay. Right. But the problem is also, if Arul Kanda, on behalf of 1MDB, makes that payment of $50 million, that means that 1MDB has acknowledged the fact that IPIC no longer has the obligation to pay that $50 million. And that may have legal repercussions if 1MDB takes IPIC to court. IPIC may say that 1MDB has already paid the $50 million. That shows that they have nullified that agreement. So it's a big problem for both the government of Malaysia and 1MDB.
Well, do we know who these bondholders are that perhaps the Edge may have, sorry, perhaps 1MDB may have gone to, make their case to?
That's right. One of them is the Syarikat Takaful Malaysia Berhad, STMB. This was revealed in 2015 that it bought an 85 million ringgit sukuk from 1MDB back in 2009. But this company has assured that the investment was low risk. Of course, I don't know whether the risk profile has changed over time. There are other typical suspects out there. Coop, EPF, PNB, they're also there as well. But we don't know whether or not they have this. In fact, PNB has denied holding any sort of papers from 1MDB.
So we don't know for sure who the other bondholders are, but I'm sure that as this story progresses, we'll get some names out of this. But you know, in other related news to 1MDB, it seems that the Seychelles are now the latest country to join the international investigation into 1MDB, joining the likes of the US, Switzerland, Singapore, Luxembourg and the UAE.
You know, this transactions involving 1MDB has piled up about $11 billion of debt. And right now, my last count, I can be, please correct me if I'm wrong, but 8 countries have joined the fight of investigating this.
Well, so the Seychelles joins all these other countries. And the question is, are we just going to have, and as people in the media constantly reporting this, or is there going to be a tipping point with the number of investigations happening internationally? And I think the tipping point for the party that that in fact holds the fate of the Prime Minister in its hands, and Prime Minister being, as it were, the last bark. And so I do think it's a interesting political question as much a business one.
It is an intersection between political and economic and business. There's 3 intersections here, so you can imagine the kind of to cross this intersection is really a dangerous one. But to bring things back into perspective, these companies and countries are clearly marked. Seychelles, they have Petro Saudi International being afflicted there. Virgin Islands is being involved because of the Abar BVI company that is the subsidiary of IPIC, which is also a subsidiary in turn of Abar themselves. And Cayman Islands, where Brazen Sky Limited is implicated, where the famous name of Brazen Island is Joe Lo. So these are real names, these are real companies in real tax havens, and they are investigating this very seriously. It's no longer a figment of anyone's imagination. The question is, when will the government say that this is a real thing?
Yeah, whether when will it become, like you said, Chirat, the tipping point, right? 7:56 right now. In other big business news today, the front page of Starbiz, they report that the US-based equity fund TPG Newsbridge are courting AMMB's chairman Tan Sri Azman Hashim for ANZ's stake in the bank. Now, if that name TPG Newsbridge sounds familiar, that's because TPG had been on the other side of that bidding war for the stake in AMMB back in 2006. Of course, ANZ had won that war.
That's right. ANZ has won that war. ANZ took about 24% ownership, or 23.8% ownership of AmBank, to be precise. Tan Sri Azman, because of his indirect stake, he has about 13%. Now, Tan Sri Azman has already been reported in previous years that he wants to, you know, ride into the sunset. But recent changes in the banking laws and also the banking transactions that is happening locally in the banking industry allows for Tan Sri Azman to have another look at whether or not he wants to continue within AmBank. And it seems that with the fact that Tan Sri Azman is courting TPG to be there and buy that stake of ANZ.
Well, I think it's the other way around. I think TPG is courting Tan Sri Azman, so it could be.
It is a formidable force, because if TPG buys the entire stake of ANZ at 23%, 24%, plus Tan Sri Azman's 13%, they have over 33% ownership, and this may trigger that FCA or
Bank Negara rules,
requirements.
Right,
yeah.
Well, I mean, the last time, I believe, ANZ has been rumoured to be wanting to sell the stake in AMMB for a while now, but price has always been an issue, right?
That's right. Price has always been an issue. Right now, the PB ratio of AmBank is still quite okay, but it's not as pricey as other banks. Public Bank right now is trading at 2.3 times price-to-book ratio. Maybank and Hong Leong is trading over 1 times, but I don't think that AmBank is going to be that pricey. But one thing is for certain, AmBank is really contributing very minusculely in terms of ANZ's report. In fact, 3% of contribution of total ANZ earnings come from AmBank. Mm-hmm. It makes sense for ANZ to exit AmBank.
Yeah, they also, I think, want to focus more, to streamline their focus. So rather than overseas operations, kind of keep it more focused to certain regions that they've picked. 7:59 right now, and we've got the Breakfast Grill coming up after the 8 o'clock news. I will be speaking to Hans Asadi, the managing director of Heineken Malaysia, previously known as Guinness Anchor Berhad, on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.